I need a beer.
So let's crack these open here.
Okay.
A little MD 2020 action.
There we go.
I know some of those caps are tough, man. People,
yeah.
I got it. All right. Cheers.
Cheers, fellas.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
It's been a while.
And you hear that? I could hear the nice glug, glug, glug.
Coming up on this edition of Bumming with Bobcat, it's Mad Dog Mayhem as MD 2020 meets Booze Quest. Tune in and subscribe.
All right, all right, all right. This is Bumwine Bob. Welcome to an all-new edition of Bumming with Bobcat on the Bumwine Bob YouTube channel and on all your favorite podcasts apps. Ooh, podcasts or podcasts? You know, we didn't even start drinking here today, so you never know what you're going to get here because we bring you the best of the worst in cheap booze, the bottom shelf, Bumwines, beers, 40s, malt liquor, all the stuff you grew up on, we cover here each and every week on the podcast. Over 10,000 subscribers going strong on the Bumwine Bob YouTube channel. So do us a solid, spread the word, tell your friends to smash that subscribe button for all the good stuff here. You like beer, cheap booze, bottom shelf. You never know what you're going to get here on the podcast. And we're not going to waste any more time this week because we got an action-packed show. We got drinks to get into here. So let's bring in Mr. We'll call him this week, Mr. Mad Dog himself. Roadhouse is here. He's got his pipe over there.
I figured since we hit 10,000 subscribers, I ought to get kind of elegant.
Yeah, look, and you need the little hat, like the Sherlock Holmes hat to go with that.
Yeah,
maybe we were just having a little discussion beforehand. Maybe for Halloween. Maybe for the Halloween episode.
Yeah, that'd be
this
fun.
Year. Because I'm waiting to see.
We have never done anything like that except maybe the Four Loko outfits.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, I don't know. I mean, after two straight years of Four Loko can costumes that I have hanging up over here, I don't know if Four Loko is going to be sending another one this year. We'll have to wait and see.
Maybe it'll be a box pregame box suit.
Yeah, or maybe just some pregame boxes.
I do will these things into existence.
That is true. That is true. If you will it, they will come.
Yes.
So Four Loko, if you're out there, you're listening.
Yeah.
You know, send it over here because they've been pretty quiet recently over on the Four Loko front. I mean, other than their usual little silly posts and everything, but nothing new in the world of new releases or new flavors or new beverages. I mean, yes. I mean, they announced the new pregame box varieties a few months back. They also have still not officially announced the Jungle Juice pregame that you found
right
months ago at this point in your travels that we cracked open.
Didn't even comment on it. Sometimes they, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, the few times that I stumbled across new flavors, they would give like a little like shush sign or just something out there. But this one, either the social media team is slacking on their reviewing comments and things like that, or you were really never supposed to see that. I mean, we did not get any type of a cease and desist or anything about it, so I guess that's a good sign. Saying you have to remove this review from...
You haven't gotten one of those in a while, have you?
Internet. Yeah, I was going to say, no, not since... As you see, it's since the shirt, you know, the original posting of the shirt 6 or 7 years ago when I got that WWE had cease and desist on the sale of the shirts. But then a year later, I reposted it and, you know, knock on wood since then, because in theory, it shouldn't have been in the first place. It's a parody. It's not, we're not selling NWO shirts.
Right.
Here. It looks just like it. But you can get yours at the Bumwine Bob T Public store. You can see the link is below in the
people's asked before. Video. That's where you go to get them.
Yeah, the link's down there, and sometimes you can get some good deals. They do the $15, $16 shirts. I mean, years ago, they used to do $12 or $13.
Yeah.
But Not in this economy these days.
Well, what I recommend is go in there and just at least register on their site, and you'll get emails when their sales are, and they're righteous.
Yeah. Yeah, you can get this stuff. And I think sometimes they think they're throwing free shipping too for certain amounts of orders and everything. So you can stock up on your Bumwine Bob gear and or some other stuff too. You can always get one shirt here, one shirt from other stuff. They have a lot of silly shirts out there.
Definitely
for you.
A lot of merch over
there. Yeah, a lot of merch, a lot of good stuff there. And this week we're throwing a little bit old school this week. We're kind of going back to our roots. With some certain beverages here, and we have a special guest joining the show, and he's no stranger. He was on with me about, I guess, 3 years ago at this point. It seems like yesterday, but it's probably been about 3 years at this point, because he's now relaunching. He talked about it the last time he was on the podcast, but now he is relaunching a Kickstarter for his game Booze Quest. He is a former professional wrestler, referee. He's a pizza fanatic, MD 2020 lover, beer lover. We have the one and only Nathan is here. Nathan, man, how you been?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Yes, yeah, welcome back. I said it's been like, I went back and I looked and I was like, oh, it's been like 3 years. Yeah. Does not seem that long, but and I know we had talked a few times in between, like, oh, we got to do this again. We got to do it again. And I was like, oh, shit, let's do it. That's sometimes you just got to rip the Band-Aid off, because you go back and forth so many times with people and it's like, hey, we should do a podcast. Oh, yeah. Then it's like just, you know, crickets. And then it's like, you know what? We're doing it today at this time. Go for it. So, welcome back. Welcome back to the podcast there. So let's crack open a cold one first. To get us going here today before we get into the other goodies we got here today.
Okay, what do we got today?
I see Nathan's got there. He's got the banquet beers. The horse banquet there. Roadhouse rocking the Mickey's grenade there. And I was saying, for I went into the fridge and I had this leftover from my birthday.
Yes.
And this is a big 32-ouncer here of the Corona Familiar out here. And I said, you know, go big or go home today. And I got to even break out the the Bumwine Bob bottle opener for this guy here today.
Yeah, that's pretty sick.
See? It's all right.
All righty.
Cheers.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's good.
Yeah, it is. Real good.
You get that first burp.
Sign of approval.
I was going to say, Nathan, if you're not used to that, you'll know when Roadhouse, you know, gets the good ones there, when the burps start flowing.
Beautiful.
Like that out there.
Usually the first drink. Yeah.
When you know, when you get that first good burp, that really sets the tone, because otherwise it just kind of sits here. It sits there a little bit. And I mean, I know, Nathan, I know you've been filming a lot of stuff for the Booze Quest, for the Kickstarter that's going to be dropping soon. So I know you've probably had your fair share of, I know, so I've seen some of the outtakes and everything in between. So a lot of beers in between over there, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
So real quick, break down and remind everybody what Booze Quest is.
Okay. It was a game I created just for me and my friends about a decade ago. And 4 years ago, I decided to officially publish. So I started a GoFundMe, got an art team, and put this thing together. It plays like a mish of Dungeons & Dragons meets Chutes and Ladders meets Mario Party. You're on a linear board, matter of fact. Yeah.
There you go.
You're on a linear board raiding a castle, and you're going after a dragon that has a magical everlasting keg. So you're like a medieval adventuring party, and you're a team, but you're all trying to get to it first. So half the times you're attacking each other, and half the times you're teaming up, trying to get to the end. And there's an end of event wheel at the end of every round, which pretty much doles out drink punishments. And Yeah, you get pretty hammered playing.
What is the player count, like minimum to maximum?
There are you could play with as little as two people, but there's seven heroes to choose from. One is a non-drinker that's just for like designated drivers. People don't feel like drinking.
Yeah.
And then you have like six regular heroes who are all just getting smashed during the game.
Okay.
So is it like everybody fight over who's going to be who on the heroes, just like when you play Monopoly?
It's pretty fast and loose. Generally, I whoever's playing for the first time, whoever's the newest, I let them choose first, and we go around.
Yeah, gotcha.
The characters are based off of a few of my friends. For example, I'm the warrior. My wife is the wizard. I have a really close friend who's the cleric. And so when we're playing, I'll be like, okay, you're the cleric, you're the wizard, of course.
Yeah.
you have your spot, and you stick to it there, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm really fascinated by this game. I wasn't on the podcast the last time you were on.
Yeah.
But I listened to it and was really fascinated. What's the average game time, like play time?
Because it's a drinking game, it can vary a bit depending on how focused everybody is.
Yeah.
I'd say the fastest game I've seen has been like an hour. The average is about two, but I've seen it go to like 3 hours to just everybody getting too drunk and it not finishing.
Correct. All right.
Yeah. All of a sudden the game just ends or people get up and walk around because that's always the
beginning. Just smashed as high.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's tough. That's a tough one there.
But I'd say a fair, like, median what to expect is it's a two-hour game and you're probably having 6 to 8 beers.
Okay.
I have a ton of questions on this game. I'm not going to take it over. I said I wasn't going to talk much because I lost my voice. But once I start thinking about different
things. Now he's interested. He wants to hear about it, which is a good thing. I mean, that's definitely a good thing when you're interested in it.
My next question is, you know, you're all individual players. What's the chances of having, like, Booze Quest leagues to where you can have, like, a tournament or, you know, spaced out over time with multiple people that play? Because I know with Dungeons and Dragons, it's kind of, has that ever gone into thought or am I just frying too much?
We've never done a tournament per se, but on the 21st, I'm throwing an event at a local bar where we're going to have like a section just like tarped off for us, but it's going to be three different tables all fully packed playing the game at the same time.
Yes.
And I did one of these 3 years ago, right around the time we did our podcast. And when it ended, like the three winners of each game were so hyped, they wanted to play another round. And I was just touching tables the first time, just making sure like everybody knew what was going on and how to play correctly. And when it ended, the three winners were like the winners of each game were just like, let's go another round. You should hop in on one. And so we ended up playing like a second round. So it was like a two-game tournament.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough with that because when it's a drinking game like that, A, people's attention spans when it comes to drinking games, and then B, okay, how drunk are you at the end of the game? Because you always see a lot of memes and reels out there, people when it's like, people just want to hang out and drink.
Sure.
And then there's always that one person that tries to break out, you know, a game. People say like the overly complicated game that they try to get people to play when they're like 4 or 5 beers in. You're not smashed, but you're like, why are we trying to play a game and set this up and organize it? So, but I think what you're doing with Booze Quest is it's at like the happy medium in between of like, okay, we're not saying this is like, and overwhelmingly, here's your list of, you know, 50,000 rules to go through. I mean, you knew going into this that, okay, the target demographic for it is not going to want to sit there and read a pamphlet of rules when you've already had, you know, I mean, if you start sober, that's one thing. But when it's like three or four beers in, it's like, oh, you know, let's play some booze quest. You know, let's do this. It's not like, okay, for somebody new, okay, here's the whole letter of the land of all the rules for it there.
Oh, yeah. I spent a lot of time dumbing down and streamlining everything to make it like really accessible to people who are already drinking or have never played D&D. So, yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have to find that sweet spot in between. Yeah. Where, like, it has to be, you know, involved enough that, you know, it's an interesting and exciting game. It has a storyline with it, but not too much that people are just like, when you are, you know, six, seven beers in, and people at that point, you know, you're kind of like, all right, are we still doing this? Are we not doing this? Like I said, the games that just end all of a sudden, because it's like, people just get up and walk away, and it's like, okay, are we playing anymore? Where are you going? And then, next thing you know, it's over out of nowhere. Like we had a good hour or two of fun, but yeah, it just wanders off. So you have to keep a tally of see how many games people will finish of everything. It's like, oh wow,
I'd say the game gets finished about 80% of the time. But yeah, sometimes the booze dragon wins.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Okay. But it's a great idea. It's a great idea for a game. I know we touched on it when I talked to you a few years ago with it there, and that the origin of the booze quest was related to MD 2020, and that was the original bottle logo, which is essentially still on the package that you showed of the artwork there. So we decided to, you know, celebrate that and the legacy of Booze Quest, that we would also bring along a little MD 2020 to dive into, because it's been a minute. We haven't really dived into any recently on the podcast. So he said, you know, why not? It's a special occasion, you know, why not? So let's break them out. Let's not waste any time with the good stuff here.
And I will say, last time we talked, I was in Salt Lake City. I was there for 6 years. First Mad Dog in that long.
I remember, was that last year or the year before? I remember for your birthday, you were searching for it. I know you had reached out to me, and you were like, hey, if you have a chance, can you send me some? And then sadly, the one spot by me that used to be fully stocked with MD 2020 went out of business. So it's still around in some spots, but it's not as readily available as I used to have it there. But then I think you said, what, your sister, I think, hooked you up. Somebody hooked you up.
yes. As a matter of fact, yes. Okay, it hasn't been that long.
Okay, yeah.
It was my 40th birthday, so 2020 just seemed perfect. And appropriately, I didn't remember the end of the night.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
First Mad Dog since then.
Okay. All right. And I see it. And that's the Nathan's got that's the bling bling right there. The
bling,
blue raspberry. Yes. The old reliable. It's got a gold chain. It's got a gold chain that says bling bling. So how can you not be fancy with that? And Roadhouse, what did you grab?
Classic.
A banana red there. Oh. And so I didn't go out to get any. I was searching. I've been cleaning some stuff down here, and I had some bottles in the reserves down here, which I've been probably sitting on for probably like 5, 6 years, 7 years at this point. And it's like, well, why are you holding on to this stuff for so long? So I broke out a vintage bottle of Dragon Fruit
MD
2020 here. I was torn between that and I had a bottle of the Electric Melon here too. As you see, this was still so old that it's on the older label here. So
Electric Melon is split open now.
So the vintage label there. I mean, I think it was only like maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I think they switched up how the labels were with it, but still. So let's crack these open here.
Okay.
A little MD 2020 action.
There we go.
I know some of those caps are tough, man. People,
I got it.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers,
fellas.
Okay.
yeah.
Ooh.
It's been a while.
And you hear that. I could hear the nice glug, glug, glug of the bottle as we're all sipping on it.
It's like that. Yeah. He says, what's a better sound than this?
Yeah.
Glug, 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 glug. Mm. Yeah,
it's,
buddy.
It's been a while since I had some of the...
I've been missing out, man. I've been cheating myself. It's been a hot minute since I've had any MD 2020, probably last summer.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. My wife and I have been taking it fairly easy booze-wise lately. And I told her about this podcast and everything. She's at work till like 7:30, 8 o'clock tonight. And I told her what was going on. And then I'm Bob. And
yeah.
We're doing Mad Dog. She's like,
I can't. She's like, guarantee.
Like one of the small ones. I was like, no, it's Bum Wine Bob. We're doing big.
We're going to go big or go home, right? You know.
And she's like, you're going to be hammered when I get home. And I was like,
maybe. I mean, I can't guarantee yes or no, but it's a possibility. It could happen.
But if it happens, I'm going out in style.
That's it. Hey, correct. You got to get the gold chain,
you
right?
You know,
there.
When you're going out bling blinging.
Yeah. I'll just say, now they have the, yeah, I mean, I don't know how you could. I mean, it's probably tough. I know you had said when you were out in Salt Lake City that you couldn't get MD 2020. And then at the time, last podcast, we had talked about Four Loko. And that's where they had the, it was the 10%, right? I know you sent me the picture of it at the store, was that they couldn't sell the 12 or the 13.9 or 14%. It was the 10% was the Four Loko limit in Utah, which is crazy that right, they would even make they don't talk about this, that they make this at a lower percentage, but they do. It exists.
It was a sad, desolate no man's land. There was a 5% steel reserve that tasted just as bad as the real thing.
Yeah, like, at that point, I'm mad about a 10%. Four Loko, because I can have more than one and not be just shitty.
Yeah.
I like the idea that, you know, 13.9 or 14 it used to be, but after I finish a can, I kind of want another one, and another one's pushing your luck. Yeah. Now 10%, you can enjoy another can.
Yeah, you could probably feel a little bit better about yourself doing two 10%. Yeah, Locos instead of 2 13.9%.
Yeah,
but I mean, at its heart, I don't think Four Loko is about feeling good about yourself. So,
as I drink something, now this is me personally, I kind of want to keep drinking it. You know, yes. I can go through a can of Four Loko in about 3 to 4 drinks.
Yeah, and the problem is that you get to that second one and it's too late.
I still want to drink.
The first one hasn't hit you fully yet.
Right.
By the time somebody like you, how quick you drink, like, you know, a tall boy can of Four Loko in like 4 sips, he's like, okay, I'm done with this. And it hasn't even had time to hit your veins yet with the buzz from it. So then you're like, oh shit, I'll just crack open another one. And then by the time you're halfway through that one, now you're hitting the first buzz. And now half of the second buzz, you're like, okay, maybe I shouldn't have cracked open that second one at this point.
So you're in California now.
Yes. Chico, what California.
Part of California?
Do what?
What part of California?
Chico.
Chico. Interesting. So do you have juice in your area?
Yes, we do. I have not had it since coming back, but yes, we do.
All right. Well, I don't have it around me, and we had them send us some, and it's great. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I would say give it a shot when you see it out there, because we were
such good flavors, such good results, no artificial.
Yeah, it has a lot cleaner taste to it than a Four Loko, even though it's, you know, the same thing, 14%, you know, for a tall boy. But just something about the flavors that they have of it, they seem, you feel a little bit better about yourself as you drink it. Because I literally just came up in my memories the other day was that I posted was when I had the orange cream juice, you know, in 2018, I think it was that.
Oh God, yeah, was a rough night
with that.
I've heard this. Well,
just saying, I'm definitely down for future rounds. We could definitely have a juice podcast.
Yeah. See, we'll need to the circle around for that one there after hitting the.
Now, we switched the game to, like, if I had a board and Bob had a board and you had a board, we could sit down and play the same game.
It would take a little more coordination, but we definitely could, yeah.
That would be an interesting night.
Yeah, because am I making it up, Nate, but did you say you were trying to work on some sort of an online version of a Booze Quest, or am I just making that up? Did we talk about something with that? Because you were trying to, or you might have talked about it, or we talked about it after. You said you were working on trying to do something for like a virtual online version of the game.
Yes, I do have it. It's on Steam on a program called Online Tabletop, and I've played like two sessions with it, but it was right when I ran out of games, and just it's a project that just kind of fell by the wayside.
But
it is there. If everybody has Steam, we can do it that way. We could conceivably do it.
I was gonna say, I mean, it's something I guess you have that in your mind too. I mean, I know you're focused on now with the game and the physical game and with the Kickstarter launching in a few weeks from now. I know that's the bread and butter right now, is getting that stuff out there. Then I'm sure if that hits and starts rolling, then you could always shift, you know, into the next realm of like the online version of the game or stuff like that.
Yeah, but there is a fully functional online version of it. We could conceivably do.
Oh, wow. We'll have to talk later.
See, yeah, well.
everybody would have to have a screen, and I think you have to download Online Tabletop, which is like, I think it's like $4 or $5, but it is doable.
Okay.
I'd have to explore and like get into the logistics of it, but
exactly. It's an idea. You just throw that idea out there so you can, you know, put a pin in that one and focus on that for the future there. And I know as Nathan has his blue raspberry there, I know you were shocked when you sent me the picture of that blue raspberry that you saw the bottle of the MD-2020 spiked.
Yeah,
the 20% MD-2020 out there.
That looks diabolical. I cackled like a madman when I saw it.
Which I have, I can't reach it. The one I have is over there.
Yeah, you immediately sent me a picture of this one.
Yeah, the empty.
I was like, of course, the bottle.
I was gonna say. He's like, hey, do you see this? I'm like, I know. I'm like,
I've got the bottle you're buying and the one you're talking about.
I was gonna say the second you sent it, I just happened to be down here and I looked over and I'm like, oh yeah, this bottle over here. And I was like, oh yeah, there it is. It's right there.
I don't even know why I asked it like a question. I was like, I'm talking to the weird monster. Of course.
There is a good chance you might catch Bob not hearing or seeing something.
Mm-hmm. So. Every once in a while, there are things that come up there. I mean, I try to pride myself as being like this knower and, you know, the connoisseur of all this bottom shelf bum wine stuff out there. So I try to know, okay, what's the newest things? But you never know. Some things could fall through the cracks. And as with Nathan here, and he brought that up there, I said, let's take a quick... Now, I was on the MD-2020 site recently, but you never know if they update anything on there. And we'll just kind of do a quick run through of the flavors here, just to kind of go through what either Nathan might be up, not at speed, or maybe Roadhouse or myself out there, because you never know what you're going to find out there. So I said, let's bring this up quick and go through here. Okay, are we all over 21? And do we agree to the terms of service and privacy policy?
Yeah, just 20 years over that.
Hey, I'm with you too. I just turned 40, you know, in July, so I'm right there. And Roadhouse is the elder of the group.
50 plus
over here. Now, Nathan, now have you seen these yet?
No.
The Mad Dog cans. See these here. These were just announced a few months back.
Yeah.
And there were limited spots, and I was lucky enough that I came across these in my travels, and I sent some to Roadhouse. We did a podcast a few months back with these little flavors. All four of them here. So they're like very similar to like the Buzz Balls.
Oh, you know, so it's a translucent can. That's beautiful. Yeah,
translucent can, you know, your orange cream, bling bling, blue raspberry, margarita, strawberry. If you come across those, I mean, they're not out all over the place. But this year, and Roadhouse and I, we talked about this a few weeks back when similar to this MD 2020 spiked.
I will say unforgettable nights is that's a very subjective term.
Yeah. I mean, unforgettable or very forgettable, depending on how much of this you drink here. And now this is the new spiked black Raz of the 20%, which is different from the one I have and the one you saw, which that's just a regular red grape wine flavor, which it's not bad, but it's not exciting. It's just your basic wine flavor. Now they said they just released this one, which I've been searching for, which I thought, because they have the finder on the website where you can put in your zip code and say, okay, is this flavor in your area? And I was out on the road a few weeks back and I thought, and they said this store had it, but sadly they didn't have this one here. So this one is the one that's been on the list now to find the 20%, the spiked black raspberry with an extra power boost, like the extra power boost. See, that's perfect for Booze Quest there to get your power boost when you crack open the 20% ABV that delivers intense berry flavor with serious strength.
Yeah.
So if that doesn't pair well with Booze Quest, then I don't know what
Take
does.
That
I
mean, dragon.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so you got your bling bling, your blue raspberry, you got the orange jubilee, the classics, Roadhouse, you got your banana red,
yes,
red grape wine, electric melon, you got our dragon fruit that I got here, strawberry kiwi, peaches and cream, and then the golden pineapple. So that's the current lineup of nice classic flavors that are out there on shelves these days.
So I had every one of those flavors at my liquor store near me except for spiked.
Okay.
So I'm gonna throw out there real quick. I didn't know that you could like do a separate window like this during the stream. We could 100% very easily play it online together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, look, see.
I was like, when I was talking about the logistics, I was worried about how we'd like get it on the stream.
Right, show it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is 100% doable, and we should do it.
All right. See, there we go. Stay tuned for that one there. And then, like I said, here's those Mad Dog cans, the Big Bark Hard Bite, our Grab and Go cans, pack all the flavor with a 15% ABV and convenient size, perfect for when you're on the move but still want that Mad Dog energy. So if you're in a rush with your Booze Quest game, you pick up some of these out there. And then there's also Nathan, have you ever seen these either? The Spike Punch cans too? Okay. Yeah, these are
miss around me. I still see them from time to time.
Yeah, they're very I still have a couple cans left over from a few years back, but they're not near me. Out there, you got to hold on to this stuff, you know.
I
don't do
it. I honestly don't know how you do it. That stuff cannot sit around long for me.
So, you are the original wise man, the sage.
Hey.
What did Mad Dog originally stand for? The MD
is Mogan David, is the original, yes, the original. Christian name of it, I guess what we'll call it, is the Mogan David, which people still to this day don't realize it because they just say, oh, it's Mad MD 2020. It's Mad Dog, you know, 2020. And then they finally, over the years, have embraced, you know, the Mad Dog by MD 2020 on some of the packaging, which you should. I mean, this is what people call it. So why not, you know, go for it?
Yeah, them finally leaning into it, I really appreciate.
Yeah. Yeah, so look, you can sign up for their email list and never miss a new flavor. So they'll get you there.
Consider me signing.
Yeah, see, I was going to say, and then you can go through and you can, you know, find your, you know, your flavors and everything and see, okay, where can you find all the stuff?
That's great.
Here, you know, and all this everything, so
golly, we were on a MD kick for a while. We were doing a lot of fun things with MD 2020. I can't believe we got off of it for so long.
Yeah. See this right here. This is this Black Raz here, which I was searching for. See, there was this one store here. This is the store I went to that did not have it, which was the store that I said a few weeks ago. I went into it. It's by Rutgers University, and it's in a not a bad area, but it's not the most upstanding area you can go to. But since it's a college town, they have all the coolers are behind like the counter. So you walk in, you can't go to the coolers and pick out what you want yourself. You have to ask the person at behind the counter to say, okay, can you get me, you know, that bottle of MD 2020 out there? And I walked in and they only had the other bottle of MD 2020 spiked. I really wanted this one, but they didn't have it. And the girl's like, no, this is the only one we have. So I'm like, those bastards lied to me. They did not. It says it on the website that it's here and they don't have it. But that's what you gotta get. You gotta get searching. You gotta get out there. We tell the people constantly, you have to go out there and search for this stuff to see what you can find in your travels, because you never know what you're going to get. Could be a diamond in the rough out there.
Beautiful.
Yeah. We need to talk further about doing a game. Cause I want to play. I'm excited.
Yeah. Now that I've seen the people
around me where I could put a game together here at the house, there's just not that many people around me that's interested in drinking and carrying on at my age.
Yeah,
but I'm young at heart, so.
Exactly.
One of the last standing warriors.
I am.
See dedicated. Dedicated out there. You know?
Yeah.
we'll put it on the list. We will work out the logistics with everything. And so we'll make it happen.
Yeah, the Kickstarter is officially happening October 1st. I would love it if we could play an online game before then.
Okay.
Yeah, not a problem.
Let's find a date. But we could plug the Kickstarter, get a live playthrough. I'll give you guys a rundown of like all the rules and like exactly who we're going to be ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and let's do it.
We'll do a dry run, and then we'll do it live. Something like that.
Yeah, go through, just test it out a little bit, just kind of play
around. Out, make sure we got all the hiccups out of the way, and
boom,
take off running. Yeah. Love it.
I think that would be a great Kickstarter like kickoff.
That is amazing.
Yeah,
Kickstarter kickoff right there. See, look at that
live stream.
That's what we want to see. People want to see the game in. As it how does it play? How does it go through? We're seeing it. I'm saying not just, you know, you talking about the game, which is great. I'm not knocking that. Oh, yeah. But, you know, people want to see it in action, but not just like the monotone, you know, oh, this is what you do here and you roll the dice. And it's like what?
Yeah.
You see it in person with you know, degenerates, you know, like us. And it's like,
I was thinking, these guys know how to do it. Before you said you had an online version of it, I was automatically thinking in my head, you know, I play with Grok a lot on X. And a lot of these guys are going in there and say, hey, build this game for me. And I kind of want it to be a cross platform between like, Grand Theft Auto and say Mario Kart, as well as, you know, and Grok will build this game and within minutes have a playable version you can download.
That's pretty nuts.
Yeah. So I was thinking, you know, you could sit there and talk to Grok just like you're talking to us and say, here's my game. This is da-da-da and start from A to Z and put it together. But you already got it down, so.
And that's from a real person, too, not a
AI-generated
prompt over there. You want to support the real people with everything.
Too. I just that's play good. With it because, I, you know, when I'm killing time, ain't got nothing to do, I'll be like, all right, here's my thing. I've got this much room in my barn, and I would like to establish so much space for this, this, and this. What can you do, and how can you work it, and can you do it in an illustrated form as well? And then, boom, they'll put up this. It's just fun to do. It's fun to play with.
Yeah. It is interesting. It is funny to see, and I'm going to say, you know, AI is going to take over everything. It's, and I love the memes that people post, and it's like, yeah, I'd like to see AI drink 11 beers before, you know, well, 12 p.m. Like, yeah, come on, AI. Replace this here, you see.
You explain to me how I could drink more in an hour than I do already. I'm at this. And
but no, no, it is a valid tool, and there's tons of fun stuff you can do with it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Rather than hate it, it's going to be there.
Exactly. And you can waste hours, you know, going through and just prompting stuff and going through and seeing what it comes back with.
I just figured if I can be more proficient at using it now before it just takes over and Skynets us.
No, you're prepping for the apocalypse. That's
Yeah. I mean, we all seen Terminator.
Yeah. We know what's going to happen.
And honestly, with the second edition that I'm bringing out, I did a lot of it. I did a lot of bug catching through ChatGPT in AI.
Yeah.
I was just like, okay, this is a concept. I want to do this and this and this. What are the potential problems? And it worked out a lot of it for me. Like,
see, I haven't
used this would get people too drunk. This is a little meandering. And I was like, oh, I actually don't need to do 30 sessions of playtest to figure it out now.
Okay,
but
yeah.
It is a tool. It's like fire. It can be very dangerous and very stupid and can cause a lot of destruction. But
it can be very useful.
You have to know how to use it in a controlled environment. That's the whole thing. You have to know when and where to use it for to make it work for you. Yeah.
And I'd never use it to create rules for me or to create art for me. But sitting there and going, I've got this resource. This. Does that work?
Yeah. For the reasoning side of things and working out problems and things like that is perfect for that kind of stuff over there. Yeah. So you can't argue
right
that stuff there. But
I would say, you know, when we get done recording tonight, we can talk about it some more, but it won't do any good because we'll all be drunk.
But yeah, I'm just saying, Roadhouse, like, yeah. I'm not going to be one of those people that hears somebody using AI and go, ugh. Yeah.
Yeah. It has its time and place for it. Does. That's the whole thing with it.
It does. And I think it's perfect for killing time for me while I'm waiting to do something or something to happen. And I'm like, oh, I just talked to it. Not as like it's my friend or anything like that.
It's like, oh no, do we need to have intervention over here? It's like, oh no, he's talking to it. Like, oh, what should I do today? You know, it's like, oh, okay.
Like the other day, you know, I was like, I want to set up at a swap meet and I want to sell a certain product. And this is my product. What is the best marketing tool to set up at a swap meet to get attention? And it broke it down with ways that I never thought of, not costing any money, but, you know, some of the materials it mentioned to have, I already have it. And it was just really interesting how it broke it down for me. I'm like, that would really work.
Yeah.
And it's just a different angle of looking at things. Whoa. Ooh, yeah. Well, it's already kicking in on me.
When you're not drinking the MD 2020 as much. I was
about to say, status report.
Yeah, you're pretty good.
Yeah, I mean,
we finally have a guest on that's ahead of me.
Yeah, I mean, it's surprising because, I mean, you kind of forget as we haven't really drank a lot of the MD 2020 recently, like straight up here, that the stuff does go down pretty quick. Now, this is, you know, 13%, so, I mean, it's not that 20%
of the
spike, but still, it will get you going pretty quick.
I'm excited to try it.
Do you have any good Mad Dog stories from your youth that you would like to tell?
Oh God. So let's see. I can't think of a good Mad Dog story off the top of my head, but I've got a good Four Loko one.
All right.
All right. That works.
Okay. So the lady I'm staying with currently, I'd say 10 years ago, she moved to California. I was in Florida. And we used to have this thing where we'd call each other monthly. We were just friends at the time. But we'd keep tabs on each other, do like a monthly phone call, and we'd both get a 40 of King Cobra. And we called the event King Cobra Coast to Coast. And we'd slam two King Cobras while doing a phone call. And eventually, Four Loko became a thing, and it was, let's do Four Loko over this. And so we did a phone call. We'd do a Four Loko and a King Cobra and do our phone call. And I grabbed a can of Four Loko. We're talking on the phone, and it had a website on the side. And the original website for Four Loko was drink4.com. And we're pretty drunk, and I'm like, drink4.com? Is this a challenge? And I had a van, and for whatever reason, whenever we'd do phone calls, I'd hop into the van, get in the back end of it, and we'd just do our phone calls in there. I had two roommates, and it just felt like a bit of privacy.
Correct. Yeah.
And so I decided one night when we did our monthly phone call, I grabbed four Locos. She grabbed four Locos, and I was like, "We're going to drink4.com," and did our phone call, had four Locos over the course of this phone call, and started at midnight, went till like 6 in the morning, and I just happened to live right across the street from a bus stop to an elementary school. And so we're drinking Four Loko. I'm four Locos deep, completely blacked out drunk. The sun's coming up. We're finishing our last one. And she's just like, update me. Like, are you about done? I was like, yeah, the sun's up. I think it's like 6:20 a.m. This is the last one. Let's kill it. Drink4.com. I take a big swig. I kill the last can. I crush it over the phone. She hears the crunch. She's like, that's amazing. We completed the challenge. And as I take the last swig, I just feel it all welling up.
Oh.
And so my van is parked perpendicular to the road. And I was like, nope, it's all coming up. I open the side door and immediately start puking. And as I do, across the street is a good 10-year-old children
waiting to
go on their elementary school bus. Had no idea that somebody was in this van the entire like last 5 hours drinking.
Yeah.
So I was like, first day of kindergarten. The door opens and just.
But you're in Florida, right? And she's in California.
I'm in Florida at the time.
She's four hours behind you.
I have. Hold on.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Going to see you. Pat it on that last sip. Yeah.
Yeah. I have the last of the four Loko cans. Puke all my guts out. Goes. And I have the phone. I'm like, drink four, motherfucker. I did it. And I look up and go, oh, deep.
Yeah.
And it's like 20, like 10-year-old kids with their mothers just going,
get away from this guy.
And I just like, walk of shame, just grab the van door and just.
Yeah. I'll hose this down after. Don't worry. It'll be gone. But when school's out, it'll be clean out here. Don't worry about it.
And that's my most shameful Four Loko story.
That's that definitely lived up to the hype of it there. I mean, that was. Oh, that's great.
If I think back to my earliest memory of having MD 2020, would probably take me back to around 1986.
So Mad Dog is like 2 years old at this point.
Well, it was very accessible and cheap to be a teenage, you know, guy drinking and running around. And we were in a park. We had scored like probably six bottles of it for like under $5. Maybe we all chipped in and bought as much as we could.
Yeah.
And we're in a public park drinking, and there's, you know, we're going to head to the Friday night football game after we're done. And a cop drives by, shines a spotlight through the field. He doesn't see us. He's just shining in the field. But one of the kids is paranoid, takes off running, who's night blind and can't see anything, and runs straight into a tree and knocks himself out. And he's the spaz of the group. So we have to babysit him and drag him, you know, under the bridge where the park is. This is, you know, we get him resuscitated and calm. We get him back to the football game to where we can kind of set him on the bleachers where his parents will find him, but we don't get caught. But the funny story is we had all these bottles left over because, you know, our eyes are way bigger than what we can drink at the time. Mm-hmm. So I hide all these bottles of MD 2020 under my mattress in my bedroom. And it never fails. My father would do something totally out of the ordinary. Like for some reason, he wanted to come in and clean my bedding, take my blankets and sheets and wash them and come back and make my bed. And so he flips my mattress and finds all these bottles of MD 2020 under my mattress.
Jesus.
And he goes, I want to thank you for the, you know, my birthday present, because this is around November. And I'm like, sure. And I'm just drawing a blank. I was like, so how'd you like your present? He's like, I don't know. Me and my buddies will drink it, you know, this weekend. And it's all this Mad Dog. He had it in the refrigerator.
Left over.
Yes.
Terrible.
Here's the old man.
But it's a good use over there.
Several times. It's another time that we planned on going camping one weekend. We had a lot of girls lined up. We had like two cases of old Milwaukee in the trunk of the car. And it's packed up with a tent, my sleeping bag. I'm taking I go in and take a shower before we leave. And Dad, one other thing, he comes in and says, thanks for the Father's Day present. I'm like, yeah, what is it this time? You know, I'm thinking. I never even noticed. I was driving my dad's car at the time. He had taken the trunk liner out and sprayed it off with the hose and had it sitting out in the backyard dry. And he went to put it back in and found these cases of old Milwaukee in the trunk of the car that all my friends, we all chipped in. And the money and I went and bought this beer from a bootlegger, and he took all that, so ruined the whole weekend. And he would, you know, I'm surprised my friends didn't kill me.
I was gonna say, you got to find some better hunting spots for things at that
point. Listen, you know, one in a million chance in the world that this shit doesn't.
Yes.
Yeah. So growing, you know, now I'm an adult. I have children the same age. When my boys were teenagers and they would try to pull shitty stuff, I said, listen, boys, there's nothing you can say or do that I haven't thought or done it. So you might as well just tell me the truth up front. I'll be very lenient about this shit.
Yeah.
And they've always been pretty honest with me for the most part.
He's laid out up front. And
yeah.
Say, I don't want to be going in there changing sheets and flipping a mattress. Like, oh, look, yeah, here's 10 bottles of MD-2020 out here. It's like, oh, look, we got some blings, Jubilee, some banana red. Okay, we got all the good stuff here. You know, load it up.
Yeah, it was. It's all the classics, the orange Jubilee, this one, and the grape.
Yeah. Yeah, you get all
mostly
the
all orange Jubilee though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You gotta pick your spots there for it. Now, Nathan, I wanted to ask you because I know the last time we talked, I think you were in your your wrestling career.
Yeah,
come to an end over there, and I know you were doing some reffing. Now, I think you said you were done with that. Now, is that where you stood the wrestling side? Are you still doing anything in the wrestling side of things with the reffing or anything, or is that, have you closed that chapter now?
I'm currently on a hiatus. Just a week ago, I helped do a promo with somebody in Salt Lake City, and I definitely want to get back into the scene at some point, but Chico's not the healthiest area for pro wrestling.
Oh, okay. I'm
wondering what's around your area.
Honestly, I don't want to say names, but
that's fine. That's fine.
Honestly, a super toxic area for wrestling.
Okay,
I got you.
If I ever want to get back into it again, I need to travel. Mm. So right now, that's.
Is it something you still want to do? I mean, I know the wrestling side of things. I know you said you had your injury, right? That kind of put the kibosh on that years ago, even at the time, you know, when we talked the last time. And I know you were doing reffing and other stuff, you know, within the business at certain promotions and helping out, things like that. Is it still stuff you still actively want to do?
Yeah.
The time is right. The place is right. The people are right.
Yes, very much. Utah, there's a company, Dive Wrestling. They were super good to me. They're amazing. They're a very new and up and coming company. And yeah, they gave me the ref spot. They treated me like my old wrestling persona, but moving on to a wrestling or to a referee
position.
And I had so much fun with them. It was absolutely great. And I want to eventually like fly out and do shows for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love, you know, a referee is just as important as a drummer is to a band.
Yeah. And I didn't appreciate it as much as I did until I became one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was 17 years into the business and I thought I appreciated referees until I became one and realized like how much actually goes into it.
Right.
And
cause you know, a drummer in a band keeps the tempo.
Yeah.
You know, when you're playing live and a singer is, you know, the drummer's reading the singer and if he changes pace and he picks up the pace, the rest of the band's got to follow that pace. He's the marching rhythm. And same with the referee, you know.
That's so actually a really good analogy.
Yeah, when you're reffing, and you know your workers are out there doing their thing, and it's kind of on the fly, but at the same time they kind of know what's going on, but you never know where it's going to take you, and the referee is going to orchestrate that.
Yeah. I never envisioned myself as a referee.
Yeah.
I wrestled for 17 years and that's all I wanted to do with my life. And when I got to the point that I couldn't be slammed anymore and I took 2 years off and I had Dive Wrestling contact me and ask me about doing it. I was just trepidatious. I was like, maybe.
Did you feel like you were stepping down?
It kind of felt like that.
Yeah.
Which, but it's not. I feel almost ignorant on now because it's not a step down.
No.
It's another part of the show.
Right, right. It's an essential piece to it.
It absolutely is. But as a worker, you never see that side of it. Referees are kind of humble. They're in the picture. They're in the background. No one's watching a referee. No one pays a ticket to watch a referee. So they have no idea what that guy is doing for the show.
Yeah. And the company treated me so good. I was still Nathan Beast, not Nathan Hall. I was the former wrestler who is now a referee.
Yeah.
They wanted me in my old color scheme, which was black and red. So I got a custom black and red referee shirt as opposed to like a black and white one. People would interfere in matches and I'd hit them with my finishing move instead of like shooing them out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was so much fun. It was amazing. But yeah, I studied all the greats as far as referee goes. And yeah, it was an enlightening experience.
That's awesome.
I was going to say, it's different from, like you said, when you were on the one side of the ring for all these years, and it's like, okay, now you're flipping it to the referee side. Yeah, you're learning it all over from a different perspective now, and everything else that goes into it. So I can see it's a big jump and a big change to make.
Yeah, and while I thought it was a step down, like I ended up having correspondence with Charles Robinson, with Rick Knox, with all these like really amazing referees who like kind of like really explained what all went into it, and I was like, oh. And it was super enlightening, and I've had so much fun with it. I've had moments that I would equate to like the best times I've ever had as a wrestler. And I definitely want to keep it going. Chico, California is not the spot, but I'm definitely going to keep it up.
Okay, cool. No, that's good. I was curious about it because I know you had said a while back, I saw a post when you were, I know when you left Utah and you left Dive Wrestling, I know they had a big send-off for you over there and a big, you know, had a big pizza party and everything. I know you're the big pizza guy.
They were cartoons
over there and everything. So I wasn't sure at that point if it was like that was the end of it, like period stop, like this is it, no more, or if it was just okay, well, I'm moving, but if something else comes up, you know, the door's still open. If the right opportunity comes up, I'll go and do it.
It's pro wrestling. So
I was gonna say when it comes to pro wrestling and when people say okay they're done, they're retired, as we've seen many times over, nobody's really retired.
I'm in like my third Terry Funk Ric Flair retirement phase. Like
if you get to that Terry Funk retirement where it's like okay I'm done, I'm back, you're flip flopping, you know, 10 times. Yeah.
I've got like 2 or 3 more.
Yeah, it's 2 or 3 more there. And I want to bring up one other thing. I don't know if you saw that they were recently, I don't know if you follow the WWE Vault on YouTube, that they post a lot of the classic clips and stuff. I don't know if they're kind of taking over like the where Peacock has the archives and stuff, but the Vault posts a lot of like behind the scenes stuff. And recently they celebrated, you know, the 30 years of since Nitro, WCW Nitro debuted, and they put a clip up of the post from the final Nitro.
Of Sting doing the bloopers?
Yes, that too. And I know we talked about this the last time that you said you were there at the final Nitro in Panama City for the last WCW Nitro, and that this was, I'll show it here. This was you, the let me see, put it here. The McMahon is Satan was you at ringside there during the thing there, which I like, as I was gonna say, you can go through and play a second of it here before we get, you know, cut off here. The McMahon is Satan clip there. of you, because I know we went back and we're posting it, but I know when we talked about it the last time where I found the flyer where it was like, if you were there, you know, in 2001 at the last Nitro, it was like $30 for like all you could drink, like open bar at the at the club there. I know you said you weren't of legal drinking age at the time, yeah, so you couldn't partake in it there. But I could imagine if we were there at that last Nitro with the $30 open bar, man, perfect.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it would have been lovely.
I was gonna say, I saw that clip. They posted that a few days ago on the YouTube, and that's hilarious. The McMahon is Satan, like right after they showed the clip of Vince, and then it was that. I know that guy.
That's great.
Yeah, I think it was right before our last podcast. La Parca himself posted that clip, and it was me in the La Parca mask. Mm-hmm. And he was like, the very last Nitro.
I'm always promoting La Parca. He's one of my favorites. Luchadors.
Yeah, La Parca's the man.
Yeah.
I was absolutely an active wrestler for 17 years, and my entire gimmick, like from day one to the end, was a skeleton motif, and it was a nod to him.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I just always, you know, his showmanship and just his gimmick was flawless to me.
Yeah, it was unique, yeah. Especially at that
time.
Very unique. And watch
that's what I like.
You know, the chairman of WCW. You know, when he come out there and he had the steel chair, and I know Roadhouse did it the one time in the podcast. He had the Four Loko skateboard, and
he's
drumming it like the La Parca.
There you go.
See, Nathan pounded down that bottle of MD-2020.
First one done.
Blink, blink, blue raspberry here. See. See, I'm sorry for what happens after this. So, yeah. Disclaimer: I am not responsible for anything that happens after this podcast.
This is one of those podcasts where I've been more interested in talking than drinking.
Yeah.
So I'm behind the eight ball.
I know. You have to get when Roadhouse gets into these ones where he's very interested in the subject, which is a great thing.
Yeah.
Sure. Just they're pounding down drinks for an hour.
I definitely appreciate it.
Yes.
But I'm actually reaching my time, so I should get going in the next few minutes.
Hey, perfect. Okay. Hey, you pounded down that bottle of MD 2020. So I mean, that's not the best time to bow out and say your piece. You know, that's
why you still can't plug all your social media.
Yeah,
wherever I can find you. Where everybody can find the game.
Yeah, I was gonna say we don't want
get
any
it all out there.
We don't want any of the four loco experiences here on the podcast. So let's get him out of here before the bottle comes back up again. You'll be okay. We're joking. Yeah.
But if you want to find me, BoostQuest is on Facebook, it's on Instagram, it's on YouTube, it's on TikTok. Usually most of them are Play BoostQuest. There's a playboostquest.com. And the Kickstarter is starting October 1st through the 31st, the entire spooky month.
That's perfect. Perfect timing. Nice. I like how you launched that right in time for Halloween. And not that it's a Halloween motif with it, but people will see that and be like, it's a little spooky.
I hope Boo's question.
Let's get fucking spooky with it.
Yeah. Hey, you can be as spooky or as not spooky as you want. You want to do a whole Halloween theme with it there?
Yeah.
You know, we'll see. But hey, Nathan, man, hey, good luck to you. And we'll be chatting now. We're gonna try to see if we can coordinate a full playthrough of the Boost Quest there. So, but
I also say let's do a Spiked Mad Dog 2020 and a playthrough. Let's do it.
I was gonna say, well, the one thing you brought up that I think I like the idea. Once you said the King Cobra coast to coast, I like that idea. I think we should at least all grab a 40 of King Cobra for it. I think that would be perfect with, you know, Nathan's on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast. Roadhouse is kind of
in the middle there.
He's in Kentucky. So I think that would be when you said King Cobra coast to coast, I'm like, that is a great idea. I love that. right there.
It's so, got so
maybe we'll do the king. We'll do the 40. We'll do a 40 of King Cobra. Maybe we'll throw in some MD 2020. You never know. You never know what you're going to get here. So stay tuned. But be sure to follow Nathan. Check out Booze Quest. Stay tuned for the launch of the Kickstarter out there and everything else that he has going on there. Give him a follow. Give him a shout. Any ideas, anything you want to throw his way, you know, just shoot him a message. I'm sure he'll love to hear your ideas for the game and how to promote it better out there, because it's for the people out there. So Nathan, man, great chatting with you. Good to see you, man, after a few years. It's been a long time since we last time. But hey, you went through the bottle of MD 2020. Yours is done.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm down to here, you know, with that there. He's got his done there. I mean, I've been
looking to shame.
Yeah, I mean, I had the big guy here too of this Corona. I got, I'm almost at the bottom of this guy here. So you never know what you're gonna get here on the podcast. But yes.
I'd say heroic cheers all around. We killed it.
For sure. We did it. Hey, kudos to that. You know, give Nathan a follow, check out Booze Quest. Stay tuned for the Kickstarter launching in October. We'll be back here. We're going to work out the logistics of playing a little Booze Quest here live on the Bone Bob YouTube channel there. So give us a follow. Spread the word. The best of the worst in cheap booze is right here. For Roadhouse, for Nathan, I am Bum Wine Bob. And until next time, cheers.
Cheers.
Motherfuckers! Bob.
I need a beer.